Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hi, everyone. I have a quick note before we jump into it. Obviously, we could caveat this to death. So please know that Sam and I tried to do our best to address all caveats, but also wanted to be honest about the bean soup theory, what about me-ism we're seeing on the internet. Number two, this conversation ended up being a whole nother conversation. Sam and I sometimes get lost down really fun rabbit holes. And if you're interested in more of the casual conversations that Sam and I have or the rabbit holes we dive into, I highly recommend subscribing to our Substack. It's at nuanceneeded.substack.com. If you can believe it, this episode is actually 2 hours long. And if you head over to our Substack, you can get the full episode. Highlights include us talking about techno billionaires, that man Brian who wanted to live forever, Mormonism, heaven and hell, Sam's experience talking to a medium, and my fear about death and dying and the afterlife. So Substack's a lot of fun. We're working on a book club as well. We would love to see you over there. And we do 1 to 2 bonus episodes a month in addition to guides of the episodes. And Sam does really great pep talks at least twice a month there too. All right. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton. And today we are tackling a topic that I think has been rattling around our brains since we started this venture many moons ago. And that is the bean soup theory.
/ what about me-ism? The internet phenomenon that we have to make everything about ourselves. We're incapable of decentering ourselves from the conversation. And if you are not familiar with why it is called the bean soup theory, it is because 2 years ago, a creator named Kara, I believe, made a bean soup recipe on TikTok for anemic girlies to help give them iron during their periods. It was not a very interesting recipe. I mean, great for Kara. No offense to her. I don't really love like 10 bean soup, but it had a ton of different beans. But yes. What made it insane was that people wrote the most unhinged comments, most centered around things such as, what about if I don't like beans? What do I use instead of beans? How dare you not think about the people that are allergic to beans? How can I make this without beans? Please modify this bean soup recipe for me without beans. To which is hilarious because it's like, bean soups aren't that common. Most soup recipes don't have beans. So correct. You could look up, you know, you could make chicken noodle soup. You could make broccoli cheddar soup. You could make Italian wedding soup. I would probably, if someone is asking me name soups, black bean would be pretty low on the most ones I would think about.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So it's absurd. And I'm sure now that you know the phrasing of it, if you hadn't heard it before, now you can think of any time you've gone into any comment section on any post, you can probably see something along those lines where someone is upset that the post is not framing their specific unique experience, bringing up an incredibly niche, unique experience as an argument against the post, people being angry that it doesn't fully fit what they think that topic should be saying. And so thus their feedback is this post is garbage.
Yes.
In totality, because it doesn't completely fit A, B, C, D interpretation of mine.
Or even offended that anyone would write this. I think about the comments that are like, must be nice. That is not helping anyone. And I think what's so insidious about this is a lot of times people think they're being advocates, or it's framed as that. It's how they frame it to themselves, right? They're like, well, I'm just advocating that you didn't think about the people who can't, right? It's like you're framing it as I'm helping someone else, or I'm helping myself and I'm advocating for those of us that can't or don't eat beans, when it's actually a way that you're just trying to make yourself feel better and you're trying to sometimes look smart by being like, you forgot about this caveat. When the truth is, most of us who are content creators can name millions of caveats and spend a lot of time deciding which caveats to caveat versus not. You can go insane.
And that's why at the end of the day, you have to just hit post. And as a creator with like any sizable following, you accept that these are the comments you are going to get. So as you can imagine, we have an onslaught of thoughts about this, and from not only the perspective as therapists, but also as content creators, as people who are what some would say chronically online. So what tipped us over the edge today is I posted a video last night, and I said in the video, I didn't share it to Instagram, it's on my TikTok. I said that you do owe strangers kindness and respect, because I had been seeing, I mean, I think that's something that's been going on for a long time, kind of the decline in civility overall.
And we did do an episode on it, if anyone would like to hear. We have an episode specifically from about a year ago, I think, or maybe in January, about you do owe people things.
Yes, you do. You do, in fact, owe people things. And so I was reiterating that. And I had also seen another post that said something like, I don't owe people full respect until they prove themselves to me, which I find absurd. And so in the video, I also said, who have you proven yourself to? Like, what makes it that you are so special, that you are deserved all of this, but it is not anywhere near your responsibility to give it back, right? So these were the first two comments that I got. The first one was, I will always be nice to strangers and hold doors. However, telling women to not think people are threats is dangerous in this world. Women have to assume people are a threat and be cautious. You can be kind and on alert at the same time. Guys, she's hearing these live.
I haven't heard.
She hasn't heard these. So my response was, I beg you to allow some nuance to exist, that I would not post something saying slash inferring that people should put themselves in danger or invite danger.
Do you know what's insane about this comment? Is that she is accusing you of being dangerous because she thinks everyone is dangerous.
Yeah, that's literally what she just said.
That's sort of the insanity, is that we don't realize how much we are creating self-fulfilling prophecies in this instance. And we're not even saying, right, like that women don't need to be more careful than men. Absolutely. No. But when you collapse everything into such a two-dimensional, when you strip it of nuance, when you make saying being polite to someone means you're putting yourself in danger, we can't have a conversation anywhere.
Well, also, I didn't talk about anything to do with that in the video.
And she sort of admitted it. She was like, I am nice to strangers. So it's like, great, you agree. You agree.
Right. You agree. And so this is part of that bean soup theory, right? Like, here I am just telling people, hey, like, be kind and respectful to other people. Mm-hmm. And now she's pulling from it her own perspective.
Which isn't even wrong, right? That's the whole thing, is like, you could listen to us and be like, well, that's her perspective. And it's like, yeah, we agree that's her perspective. And she could have shared that and been like, it's hard for me because I've been in a dangerous situation, for example. And we would be like, good self-awareness.
Yes, excellent self-awareness. But I did not anywhere in this video say women should not think men are threats. Women have to assume people are a threat and be cautious. You can be kind and on alert at the same time.
Which is literally, she agrees with you.
She agrees with me.
So you agree.
So you agree. As a content creator, what is so inherently frustrating about a comment like this is it feels like they are trying to put you on display as you don't fully understand what you're talking about, that you have willfully chosen to ignore this tidbit that is going to cause societal collapse because you didn't specifically address this in this video, or three, that you are being a negative influence because you are not specifically highlighting all the ways, 59 ways to Sunday, someone could be harmed by what you've posted, and that someone somewhere in the world might misinterpret what you've said. So now I have to put you on blast and remind you, you did it wrong. And so you get put in this spiral where even sharing the most like good-hearted, well-intentioned content can be taken by an online social justice warrior, if you will, and they flip it to feel better about themselves and their belief system to be able to say, look at how aware I am that I picked up on this and you didn't. Now, the other thing is, if you pointed this out to them, they would all be like, well, that's not what was happening. I was just pointing out the fact that you missed this and that it's dangerous and right? Like, they're not going to admit to it. But this is the method behind the madness.
And it's unfortunate because we do need people advocating for people.
Yes.
It is important. But when everyone is advocating for something that doesn't exist or isn't helpful, or they're just centering themselves in the name of acting as though they're trying to make sure you're not being dangerous, we drown out actual work and actual advocacy. I think one thing that is so insane right now is saying reasonable things like we should be kind to each other, we need to think about other people, or not everything is about us, has now warped because of culture war into like you're anti-woke.
Because they're like, you're ignoring the truth of what's going on.
Yes.
You're trying to gloss over the reality. And it's like, no, this is how we got here. And also understand, when I'm sharing a lot of this content, my hope and prayer is that it ends up on one of these other like MAGA far right lunatics pages. And maybe it could get through to one of them to be like, maybe my deep inner hatred for anybody that is not me might be the problem. But also, we've lost touch with like basic value systems of like respect, resilience, kindness, service, community, all of these elements
that honestly make communities function. Like, we're like, communities are breaking down because these social contracts are breaking down.
Correct. And also, the comments section is not going to move the needle on social justice. Absolutely 0% good has been done in anything by commenting some obscure caveat that you feel you caught alone at 2 a.m. in your bed. But now you get to feel like you took some action that absolves you from taking larger action in the real world, where you're going to have to put yourself out there. You're going to have to use your voice, which is really funny. Love to see how bold and brave you are when you get put in that situation, because it's so easy for you to go around to the people that are trying to use their platforms for good and tell them the 55 ways to Sunday they're doing it incorrectly. Then you do it. You stand up and you start talking about things and you tell me how easy it is to explain things to people that are hell-bent on misunderstanding you. Go for it, please. I get really frustrated because I used to get like, when I would get comments like this, because almost every other video, I get some type of a comment like this, as I'm sure you, well, I know you're the same. I used to get really insecure and be like, oh, crap. Like, I missed this.
Yes.
I did this wrong. Like, oh, like everybody's going to be mad. I want them to know that like I'm on the same side. And now I'm like, I'm not policing myself. I'm not doing that because I'm not saying anything inappropriate when I say, hey, like, let's kind of return to a space where we could be nice to people we don't know.
And also, like, forgetting, even if you do, because I've genuinely forgotten to say, like, this doesn't apply to abusive situations or things like that.
Right.
And I've been like, no, that would have been helpful to add, right? I think the perfectionism, like, that was something that destroyed me a few years ago being online, is I was so hyper vigilant about making a mistake. I demanded such perfection from myself. It's one of the kind of freeing things about having a podcast is you can't be hyper vigilant about, right? Like, if you're making content online and you're, or even if you're writing, like, you can be really hyper vigilant about picking the exact right words. But if you want any sort of interesting conversation to flow on a podcast, you can't over police yourself.
I think also, like, to stop assuming that if someone is saying something that seems to have an overall good message with solid intent, to assume that they are not speaking to the worst versions of humanity. Like, I just think that that is a critical thinking skill that has gone invisible right now, courtesy of the online ecosystem. And I think it in left-leaning echo chambers, the gotcha, like, look what you don't know, look what you missed, look what you don't understand. You need to educate yourself, but you need to know this from osmosis. Stop, you know, you're being harmful, you're causing harm, you're being dangerous. Like, that's not helpful, because exactly as you said earlier, it perpetuates the narrative by the people who disagree with people having rights that look at how dramatic they are. Look at how they police themselves. Look at how cruel they are. Do you see that? Do you really want to be a part of a group that you can't even say anything? That you don't have free speech, can't say what's on your mind because they're just going to jump down your throat and judge you?
And a lot of these people didn't even vote, right? Like, a lot of these people are so extreme on that end. They literally want the world to burn down.
They're the ones that stand up and say both sides are bad.
Yes. And it's just like, yeah, obviously there's a lot of problems on both sides, but we need to be able to be tolerant. When did tolerance become harm? When did having different opinions become dangerous? We are different, and not everyone who has slightly different disagreements or beliefs than you is a horrible person, when there actually are people out there who don't want certain people to exist and who are causing really terrible harm out there. And yet, can we like focus our energy on like doing something about that? But it is easier, Sam. It's easier to disagree with someone who you have pretty similar beliefs with, I think, sometimes, because you kind of know their buttons to push in some ways.
Yes. The last comment that I got that would have fallen in on this particular video. I don't owe catcalling men respect and kindness.
Agree.
Agree.
It's similar to, I did a post on Instagram that was called "That's Not My Responsibility, But Sometimes It Is." And I talk about how we've like overcorrected and life isn't fair. Relationships aren't 50-50. Sometimes covering for someone is like called being kind, and let's be generous to each other because we may need generosity. And I had someone arguing with me. And let's guess who some of the most generous people are in real life. Women. Please stop encouraging the female population to be doormats to their male counterparts. We already saw that happen. The life isn't fair narrative doesn't apply, people. If people weren't educated to give back what they received, it's on them, not on life. Yeah, someone else saying, like, you need to be flexible in moderation. If you're excusing it with these BS reasons, you're just violating your own personal boundaries. What a crap. What a crapshoot. Take this down. Misguiding narcissistic people, making them believe everyone else is the problem, which is already their delusional narrative.
What?
It's unfortunate because some of the themes of my post too were like, women do overgive. Don't make women give more. And it's like, I do get that as a like overall theme. Women do give more. That is something. But we need to be able to talk about, this is how we ended up here in this like overcorrection space. Because if we make content only talking about the most extreme example, we can't talk about other examples. And things also exist beyond. What if you, like, what I said back to someone, which didn't go well, is I was like, what if you live with like two female roommates? Like, what about that? Right?
Right.
What about other people, other women in your life? Can you be generous to them? And then the person took it into like, well, women exist within patriarchy and patriarchy is the problem. So we need to focus our energy on the patriarchy, not other women. And I'm like, great, got it. But also, if you live with a roommate and you're constantly keeping score and you're obsessed with who does more, it's going to make you miserable. Whether that's true or not, we need to stop being so obsessed with what's true and start asking, like, is this helpful? Like, maybe a lot of people are dangerous. I'm not even saying that wrong. But living your whole life thinking every single person you encounter is super dangerous isn't helpful. We're not saying don't be prepared. We're not saying don't have boundaries and pepper spray and a kitty cat claw that you can keep in your hand.
We're brass just, knuckles. Yeah. Go crazy.
We're just saying living your life, assuming everyone is dangerous and terrible, is not good for your mental health.
No. No. And that's actually something that any professional you meet with would start asking you questions about and be like, where did you learn that the entire world was unsafe for you? Mm-hmm. Where did you learn that? Mm-hmm. Like that is a deeper rooted yeah. question for you to sit with and explore. Also, I think as we're talking about this concept of caveats and understanding and critical thinking and, you know, people projecting, right? Like all of these like bean soup type comments, right? Are projection at its core, right? People either wanting to seem keyboard warrior-esque, people that are wanting to, you know, they see something, it triggers a fear, an anxiety, a concern, a past trauma in them that they haven't dealt with. All of this is projection. And I think something, this is, there's two prongs to this fork I'm about to put out. The first one is, the best option for a situation is not always going to be the best thing for you. And something that worked for someone else probably won't work for you. And something that worked for you probably won't work for someone else. Mm-hmm. And those two truths can exist. And what we're lacking right now is an ability for us to turn back inward and spend time with our unique experiences to understand and have confidence in what is my life like right now? How does this apply to me? And if something doesn't apply to you, that's fine. That is okay that something doesn't apply to you. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, problem 49,588 of the algorithm is that our echo chambers and our FYPs are so well curated now. We are shocked when anything shows up that feels even remotely different from what we've been being served. And because it's so off-kilter and different, we assume that that thing is immediately wrong, bad, weird, off, not good. And it's like, no, you're just seeing something either that's new, you don't agree with, maybe you don't fully understand, and you don't like. And that's okay. You not liking something does not make that thing a threat.
Yep. Even if you disagree with something, it doesn't mean it's dangerous.
No. And now, obviously.
Caveating ourselves to death.
Caveating ourselves into oblivion. If you know someone is in an abusive relationship and they're sitting there telling you how amazing it is, guess what? You have no control over whether or not that person leaves. The only thing you can do is remain a safe, open, reliable space for them. Speak your truth of what their situation is to you in a kind, loving, respectful way, and pray they're going to leave.
And you will make it worse if you try to intervene. It is like trying to perform surgery on someone.
Nope.
Or trying
while
to,
they're awake.
Right. It's like trying to, right? It's like when someone gets stabbed in the leg in a movie and they're like, don't take it out. Don't take it out. Don't take it out. Yes, Someone always takes it out.
Someone always takes it out.
And then they bleed out.
And this is why I think some of these caveats that people put in are so silly and so immature. Because one, most 90% of them that I've seen are just so duh. Like if you look at the original content they're commenting on versus their comment, you just want to look at it and go like, what did you get out of this? What little like boost of confidence serotonin did you get from commenting the most duh caveat to this?
They did get a serotonin boost because they got to be right. Or they think they're right. Yeah.
Right. The other part to these caveats is that they are so devoid of understanding of the true human condition. Mm. Especially I find when people start throwing out the examples of like abuse, neglect, danger, threat. I get particularly frustrated when my content somehow gets the domestic violence bean soup comments mm-hmm. of like, you know, but, you know, we can't like women might not be in a place to be able to do that, or women might not feel safe enough to do those things, or women, like you're encouraging women to put themselves in a situation where their partner could punch them in the face. That is a true comment. And it's just like, okay, so do we never tell women to feel empowered then? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the statistic for a woman to leave is it is going to take a minimum of 7 tries to leave a relationship. This is a separate concept, right? That we could have about 50 episodes on abuse and domestic violence in relationships, but it is going to take a woman on average 7 times to leave. Because every single time she builds a stronger sense of confidence. And the reason I'm sharing this is because any content that you are seeing that doesn't apply to you, it could very well strongly apply to someone else. And when my content is much more about like empowering, not taking shit, stepping into your own accountability, right? And owning what it is that you can do and you can't do, that takes time, practice, and consistency. And I am aware of that. But at some point, people have to be exposed to this shit in order to start practicing it and being consistent. Mm-hmm. And I think for any content that you're seeing that would be around social commentary or social mm-hmm. justice issues or politics or mental health or self-help or those sorts of things, there is a world where there is a modicum of truth to everything that you are hearing. And it is okay if that doesn't apply to you. It's okay if you don't agree with it. It's okay if you don't like it. You have to pause and ask yourself, is this something that is truly harmful? Is this something that is truly harmful if it is not immediately caveated by me?
I also think if we take it back to algorithms, because we are in these echo chambers, because we see anything as a threat, we are losing the ability for discernment to mm-hmm. know what applies to mm. us. But also even like the discernment of sort of recognizing that things, like we're so quick to rush into fix it for someone else. Like you said, yes. like just because someone can't implement something right now because they're in a relationship doesn't mean it's harmful for them to see it necessarily. Right. And right. I think in this whole thing, we have to also give space and recognize we don't have control over other people. I think what's also hard is I think the people who are actually advocating, the people who mm-hmm. are actually trying to make a difference, like I learned a lot during 2020. I think there was a lot of really great, important needle moving that happened. I think there was a lot of really important work that's happened on social media in terms of education, making us more aware of things,
yes,
all of that absolutely. Stuff. But now it's like this competition of who can point out the most caveats, it feels like. And instead, it's actually drowning that out. And it makes everyone feel like we have to sort of like overly take care of everyone mm-hmm. and overly assume that we – like it is so self-centered to Ugh. Not only assume that everything needs to be about you, but to also assume you know what's best – for other people. And a lot of these people in the comments are white women that are yep. advocating there for all is. These people.
There that, it is. That,
and they're not part of their community. They don't know no. best.
No. No.
They and it's don't not at helpful. All.
No. And a caveat to the caveat comment from earlier on my video where she said like, you're not, you know, like you're encouraging women to be in danger. Here's another thing that has to come with healing. If you're talking about healing work, recovery work, trauma work, you have to figure out how to go live back in the world without feeling that you are on edge, that you are walking on eggshells, that you are looking over your shoulder, that you feel you cannot trust anyone around you. Exposure to that is part of the work. So what if my video is the thing someone needed to be reminded, I'm not surrounded by people that are going to hurt me? Mm-hmm. What if someone else needed that reminder as they are going through the process of rebuilding their confidence and rebuilding their resilience? Stop assuming that every bit of content that doesn't immediately address every single point in your brain is going to be immediately wrong or harmful. Stop. And just exactly as you said, it is so arrogant and throwing this hot topic word out, narcissistic at times, to assume that you have your narrow worldview is the only one that could possibly fit, and that every fear that you have has to be immediately addressed by all of the strangers on the internet. Mm-hmm. That the internet has to be lawn mowed for you to feel that it's perfectly safe for you to walk along.
Well, it also robs you of then taking, like, if there's content that makes you upset, you can unfollow, you can block, you can mute. Don't interact with it. Don't teach the algorithm that this is what you want. This is my whole thing lately, is I'm like, we all are so overly responsible for things that we don't have control of, that we are not taking ownership of the things that we do have control over. Like, we are so overly responsible for trying to save some person on the internet who we don't know from harm by commenting a caveat, which doesn't even work. But then we're not taking ownership of where we can impact, how we can support people. Like, go make a difference at a domestic local violence shelter. Yes. Go donate. Go get involved with other people in our community. One of, like, the best things you can actually do in a community to prevent domestic violence is women coming together, is connection among other women. There's a lot that we can do. And instead, we're spending our time, we're wasting our time on the internet, fighting with people, drowning ourselves. We're just so overwhelmed with doing things that aren't ours to carry. We don't even carry what's ours.
Since we are knee-deep in November, i.e. holiday shopping season, I am going to give you the cheat code to the best gift that you could give to anybody in your life. And these are the Cozy Earth Bamboo Sheet Sets or the Cozy Earth Bamboo Pajamas. When I tell you these things collectively have given me the most comfortable sleep of my life, I am speaking to you with my whole chest. The material is like nothing I've ever felt in my life. It is a viscose bamboo, and it is so uniquely soft, and it has kept me insanely warm yet cool at the same time. I've sometimes struggled with getting really hot at night, and these sheets and these pajamas have made all the difference in the world to that. And also, because of how comfy they are, they have made these cold fall mornings incredible. I cannot recommend them enough. And when you're thinking of giving somebody a gift and you're wanting them to have a gift that they are going to use every day, day in and day out, sheets are phenomenal. They also have a 100-night sleep trial, so you can try them out. If you don't love them, you can return them hassle-free. However, on night two, you're going to realize you don't even have to do that. And they also have a 10-year warranty. That is how good this product is. You are going to have these sheets for a decade. Sheet for a decade. Nobody else is promising that. They are incredible. These are top-notch. And since Black Friday is right around the corner, you can now stack my code NUANCE. That's code NUANCE, N-U-A-N-C-E, giving you 40% off total your entire purchase. Use code NUANCE at checkout to get 40% off your entire purchase and thank me later. Wrap the ones you love in luxury with Cozy Earth.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Sometimes I'll get other comments too, like more directly challenging what mm-hmm. I post when I talk about taking ownership mm-hmm. of our
people
lives.
People hate ownership.
Hate it.
It makes sense that people don't yes. like the word ownership because there was so much victim blaming that happened and continues to happen. And I think
yes.
we needed to go through this reckoning of getting out of this bootstraps culture. Mm-hmm. But there is nuance.
Well, and bootstrap is not accountability.
Yes.
Bootstrap is kicking someone while they're down and telling them that it's their only job to get back up.
And it's alone. Their fault.
And it's their fault. Like, that's the difference with bootstrap, is you are blamed solely for the position that you are in your life. Yet, sometimes there's a modicum of truth to that. There are some situations, I have worked with people that have dug themselves into holes with their own shovel. However, we can also have a larger view of their parenting, how they were parented, how they were raised, the environment they were raised in, the access to resources that they either have or haven't had, what their overall mental health is. Do they have mental illness?
Mm-hmm. They have different capacities than other people.
Yes. I want to understand that, like, we are not sitting here telling everybody to, like, shut up and grow up and move on. I agree, Amanda, 100% when you said, like, we needed to go through a reckoning, right? I think with Me Too, we needed that mm-hmm. reckoning. Black Lives Matter, we absolutely needed mm-hmm. that reckoning. We continue to need these reckonings. I mean, mm-hmm. look at the Epstein files. I know, for God's right. sake, like, we still need this. Like, mm-hmm. none of this has died. Yet, you can be a victim to certain things without needing to be a victim to your entire life. Mm-hmm. And I say that, like, holding your hand, if you have gone through something horrific that was... had your hand in it in no way, right? Something that just happened to you out of the blue and it threw your life off course. That is horrible. It's awful. You deserve all of the support in the world that you need to get through that and access to the resources that you need 100%. I would advocate for anybody in that situation all day long. And you can control what you do after that has happened to you, whatever that is for however long it is.
Everyone has a different bucket of what yes. they are able to control. But I think we also forget that agency is crucial.
Yes.
Agency, having agency, taking control of some way in your life is one of the most important factors of trauma recovery.
Yes.
Whether you have agency or not. And yes, most people need to go through a period of extra protection,
grieving,
taking extra precautions to, you know, we a lot of times mm-hmm. do need to kind of like go away and hole ourselves up as we're recovering before we can come out on that other side. But it frustrates me so much that the word accountability or responsibility has been weaponized so much, especially like the self-help white man industry. It's been weaponized so much that then we're not allowed to talk about the helpful frame of it. And as someone who's in recovery and sober, so much of the transformational work was about taking accountability, taking responsibility, doing things I didn't want to do, being challenged, being mm-hmm. told in a lot of ways, like there are so many issues with 12-step programs, but
right.
there are a few core things that really work about it. Not just like one is what I said, also getting outside of yourself. You're not yes. the most important person in the room.
No.
You need to help other people. Helping other people makes a difference in your life. Taking some action is better than doing nothing. Showing up for things, even when you don't want to, is a skill set. And I just get so angry that we're so polarized that it feels like as therapists, we can't talk about the middle yeah. ground. We can't talk no. about some of the power that people do have. We can't talk about how taking accountability, finding where you do have agency, coming up with your values and taking action in alignment with that is seen as like unacceptable because of how polarized we've gotten.
To do those things that you just said, it's now all of that has become packaged as dismissive of your pain.
Yes.
You're dismissing your pain. And it's like, we are all in pain every day at some varying scale, whether it's physical or emotional or mental. And at some point, if you want to move on, if you want to feel happy in your life, if you have felt like you are stuck in quicksand and you can't move, you at some point have to decide to reach out and grab a branch And I think all of this, the bean soup theory comments and the caveats and the, are you thinking of this person? Are you thinking of that person? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Right? Like, stop assuming that all of these people that you are speaking about are going to be immediately harmed or like disrupted by any of this content.
Because it waters down the actual problematic, harmful content that's on the internet, which absolutely exists.
Which absolutely exists. And I'm going to tell you right now, the actual harmful content is not obscured. The actual harmful content is not
really
like
obvious about it.
Secretly tied and woven into other people's content. No, they're really straightforward, i.e. Nick Fuentes being like, I celebrate Stalin's birthday. Yeah. That's problematic. Mm-hmm. That is problematic content. Mm-hmm. Someone posting a recipe that might not be gluten-free, vegan, dairy-free, that's not dangerous. You can scroll past that and be like, we're going to live today. Me saying be nice to people is not dangerous. Because most people are going to have the wherewithal to be like, yeah, of course she's not talking about being nice to rapists. Like, what? Come it's on, absurd. Guys. It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd that we cannot have discernment, awareness, and self-reflection of the content that we are consuming on the internet. And that we have just become completely warped into thinking that everything that I don't agree with or anything that misses everything is now a threat. It's not. It's just not.
And self-discernment is a skill. Like, we have to use it. We have to, every time we don't say, we don't make it about ourselves, every time we allow something to go by us, every time we pause and say, does this need to be said? Does this need to be said by me? Is this helpful? It's a very DBT skill.
It's very DBT, very self-regulatory.
You learn the skill of discernment.
Yes.
You save yourself time and energy, and then you can take that time and energy and do something that makes a difference in your life.
I think what's so interesting too is because I think the internet right now is just one big ball of anxiety in all directions. Just one big vibrating ball of anxiety. And what I think most people don't understand, because people don't live, breathe, eat, sleep this stuff like we do, is that you have to expose yourself to the anxiety in order to learn how to work through it. And that the thing that is going to help you get through your anxiety is actually the thing that is going to minimize the thing that is making you anxious. But the thing that your brain doesn't understand is that when you are doing something that is minimizing the anxious trigger, whatever that is, your brain wraps around and says you are minimizing a mortal threat. But you have to be willing to sit in that in-between space to expose your brain to the fact that it's not a mortal threat to not feel this level of anxiety, that it's okay to put that down and focus on something else. It's okay to take action that helps minimize that internal experience of the stress and the overwhelm and the anxiety, right? And what I found is when you explain that to people, people have become so attached to their anxiety. They now feel that I am asking them to ignore a threat, like a threat to their safety, when I say like, no, you can't focus on that. What are you able to control? What's in your locus of control? That's all external. You have no say in that. You have no say in that. And people are like, but that's not helpful. You can't, like, well, what am I supposed to do? It's going to be really bad. What should we do? Let's think about it right now. What is in your control that you could do right now that would help you feel like you are doing something? And then immediately people zoom out and they're like, well, I have to go to Washington and fix this. And it's mm-hmm. like, no. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of tension around that. And I've seen content that I've made and even content from other creators where when you start to talk about doing things that distract you from everything that's going on, they're like, no, like I have to, what do you mean? Like I have to be in the know. And it's like, you're not going to survive. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not going to mentally, psychologically, emotionally make it through whatever it is that we're living through if you continue to only focus on the things that make you angry, make you upset, make you anxious, make you feel overwhelmed, and you just sit in that doom scroll. Mm-hmm. I think I'm starting, thank God, to see more content that's speaking to let's like pull ourselves out of this. But I still see a lot of people in comments like challenging that. And it's like, guys, like at some point you have to radically accept what you cannot control, which as you brought up the 12 steps, I think another incredible element of it, the serenity prayer, if you will. And we have to spend some time understanding that not everything that makes us anxious is an immediate direct threat to our life or to someone else's life. And that for someone to challenge you on that is not them dismissing or minimizing your experience. They're trying to give you a fucking life preserver so that you don't drown in your own misery.
Yeah, I think that that is what's really hard about anxiety is it's very counterintuitive in that when it comes to anxiety, a lot of times the like the fighting of anxiety makes it way, way, way worse. The clinging to anxiety makes it way, 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 way worse. And it's like we get so self-focused on our anxiety and what's going on that we just lose a lot of perspective. And when we are constantly mitigating our anxiety through checking things on the internet, like compulsively scrolling, trying to find out more information about things, avoiding certain things that make us anxious – our brain literally learns like, oh, the solution to anxiety is avoidance.
Yep.
It's avoidance of the thing that makes me anxious and it is avoidance of uncertainty because uncertainty makes me anxious. And then that gets stronger and you're actually teaching your brain that. And if we want to start breaking out of that, we have to sit in the distress. We have to build our distress tolerance skills. And one of the basic distress tolerance skills is literally distraction. It's helpful. It doesn't mean you stay there forever. You can distract yourself and look outside yourself and help someone and do something else and go get a sweet treat, like you said. And that doesn't mean you're minimizing or denying your pain. I just feel like somewhere along the way, people think sitting with their feelings and processing their emotions means that that's all they do all day long. And if they do it enough, they will feel better. And that is like – it's one crayon in like a 50-color crayon box. It's important. Yep. We didn't do it. That's why we talked a lot about it. But another important skill is distraction, is helping people, is doing small things for yourself, is all of these others. There's a lot of other skills. You can't process your emotions enough for them to not exist.
Ooh.
I think people think if I sit with them long enough, if I sit in this, it will go away. And that's not true. You are going to have emotions all day, every day, for the rest of your life. Emotions are important to not ignore, to not avoid, but they cannot just control your life. It's like anxiety. Like you have to learn to tolerate and sit with your emotions. You have to learn to tolerate and sit with your anxiety. But you need to be in the driver's seat of your life. You and your values need to decide where you're going to go and what you're going to do. It doesn't mean you need to get mad at your emotions for not being there. But they also shouldn't be leading. If my emotions led, I wouldn't have probably recorded a podcast today with you. I probably wouldn't have gotten out of bed. I would have probably not done a lot. I wouldn't have made my bed this morning. There's a lot of things that I don't feel like doing, but I live a life driven by what's important to me and meaning and values. And there's so many other aspects to living a good life beyond just what feels good in the moment and what I'm reacting to in front of me.
I could not agree more. And on the Substack, I posted how I feel like self-help is toxic, which feels rich coming from someone who would be like under that umbrella. But I also think, as a content creator, I've tried really hard for a really long time to have very nuanced content. I don't do just like really quick sound bits. All of my videos are like at least a minute. But anyway, that sounds like I'm trying to justify my role in it. But regardless, I think the larger self-help industry that has been co-opted by untrained coaches, people that are operating from life experience alone.
People selling you things who aren't even coaches. Like everyone who's like Every skincare brand is telling me to take care of myself. Every person who sells home decor items is now telling me how to be more positive. Like, get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out of my house. Get out of my yard. I know more than you. And what I get frustrated with is, it's you summed it up so perfectly, because we've come to this place where we think if we focus on the negativity of something enough, if we call it out enough, if we call attention to it enough, if we just sit in it, I have this feeling that it will eventually go away. And that there's some magical moment in healing where all of this is going to transform into some like peaceful utopic nirvana that, you know, I don't feel anxiety anymore. I don't have anxiety anymore. That's not real.
No, you're going to be managing everything for the rest of your life until you die.
And even then, I don't know what happens after. So we might still be dealing with it then. I cannot in good conscience tell you that anything will get you to a space where it doesn't exist. And all of the work that you do, the entire point of learning these actual self-help tools, coping skills, psychoeducation, awareness, implementation, all of it is so that you can get better at managing the garbage in your life. Mm-hmm. And then when I've posted stuff like that, people are like, so you're telling me I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life? I don't know, Jan. I don't know. Maybe you will be, because you do nothing different ever.
Well, that's the thing is, right? Like, the more you turn inward in being obsessed with fixing this, you can't subtract things from your life without adding them. You can't just only focus on trying to heal your anxiety without also doing other things. You have to also do things that expand your life, or your life just shrinks.
Right. And doing a lot of those things is really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. To be able to practice like holding space with sitting in that mirror and being honest with yourself about how you have hurt your own feelings, and understanding some of the shame that comes with that, some of the embarrassment, some of the ego death that comes with that recognition of like, maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did. I haven't been making really intentional choices in my life the last couple of years. Like, that is hard. That is really, really hard and painful. And there's a reason everybody has invested so much time and billions of dollars into teaching us how we can avoid doing that thing. That we can just say something as simple as let them, mm-hmm. or that we can just cold plunge our way into some type of like higher self.
Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, really, you listeners are the ones that keep this up and running. And one of the best things you can do to support the podcast is to share it. So if there's anyone in your life who you think would really resonate with this episode, please share it. Also, if you can believe it, this episode is an extra hour long. So if you would like the full unedited video episode of this, which includes Sam and I talking about Mormonism, living forever, and Sam's experience with the medium, head over to our Substack, nuanceneeded.substack.com. All right, we'll see you next week.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.